If you could get the great, thanks, Rosen, and take roll.
Sure. Judge Conklin.
I'm present, thank you.
Ms. Fleming.
Present.
Judge Clark.
I'm here.
Judge Gabe.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Gaddy. Judge Hernandez.
Good afternoon, here.
Judge Kamakarian.
I'm here.
Judge Kelly. Judge Losh. Judge Reinhardt. Judge Reinhardt, I thought I saw Judge Reinhardt. Okay. Judge Sachs.
He's here.
Judge Siebert. Ms. Cameron?
Present.
Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Kim? He informed us he'll be absent today. Mr. Landry?
Here.
Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Seal?
Here.
Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, good afternoon, present.
Our advisory members, Mr. Dorsey?
Present.
There he is. Great.
Mr. Theodorovich?
I'm here. Good afternoon.
And our liaison member, Judge Awani? And Judge Conklin, you're muted.
Thanks, Rose. I see Judge Larsh just signing on, so we'll show Judge Larsh is present as well. I know people are just transitioning from their other day jobs into the meeting. I appreciate that. So welcome all. We've got an exceptionally important agenda today, wrapping up a lot of great work. Before I move into the meat of the meeting, I do want to acknowledge that this, all of our agenda items today are a reflection of the work. We usually say top to bottom, but I'm going to say bottom to top here in the sense that the work that starts down with all the members of staff, all of us from our courts, all the way to the top, to the chief and to everybody on the chief's team to get this budget to us. It's a budget that we are very thankful for, and I hope today's agenda exemplifies that we're trying to be responsible and transparent about how this budget is allocated out to the state trial courts. And so we're going to address the items that express that. We'll start off with some of our more routine items, and that is I'm going to invite a motion to approve the minutes of the March 27th TICBAC meeting. Those are in your materials. Do I have a motion to approve that?
I'll second it. This is Judge Siebert.
Moved and seconded. We'll also show that Judge Siebert is now with us. Moved and seconded that the minutes be approved. Is there any objection to the motion to approve the minutes? And hearing no objection, we'll show that the minutes are approved. I will also note, moving to public comment, we have received one public comment. This relates to item 7 on our agenda today. That's court-appointed dependency counsel. That public comment has been distributed to all members from the Children's Law Center of California. I'm also going to note, as we get to that item, I'm just disclosing an abundance of caution that my nephew is employed by the Children's Law Center of California as one of, I believe his title is senior attorney. And in an abundance of caution, I'm going to recuse myself from item 7. Given what may in the broadest sense be perceived by the public as a potential conflict, though I don't believe it exists. I've already talked to Rebecca Fleming, and Rebecca is going to take item 7, engage in the discussion, and I will also not vote on that item as well, but we won't do that till we get there. So with that, we're going to start with the first of our 10 items. I know all of our members are aware of this, but just so the record is clear, these items relate to $3.3 billion in allocations for the fiscal year 24-25 budget, except for item number two. Item number two relates to an allocation for our ongoing budget, and we'll address that as we get there. But this is the lifeblood of our trial courts as far as funding goes, and we will be discussing how all of that funding is allocated today. I believe Judge Mormon, the chair of the JBBC, Judicial Branch Budget Committee, is also in on our meeting today. Judge Mormon, if you're with us now, you're welcome. Obviously, we appreciate your presence here today. Each of these 10 items will be presented by separate members of the judicial, separate staff members from various entities of the Judicial Council. We'll identify them as we go. So let's get started. The first item, item number one, addresses allocations from the State Trial Court Improvement and Modernization Fund, otherwise known as IMF. This is for consideration of a recommendation from our R&E subcommittee for the allocations from IMF in an amount of approximately $47 million. And to start off, we have Heather Staton with us. Heather, I'll turn it over to you for your presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Can everybody hear me okay?
You bet.
Great. Yes. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Heather Staton, and I am a senior analyst in budget services. Agenda item number one, found on page 7 of your materials, requests consideration of the recommended 2024-25 State Trial Court Improvement Modernization Fund, or IMF, allocations for the Judicial Council offices totaling $46.6 million. This is a decrease of approximately $1.5 million from the 2023-24 allocation and represents about a 3.3% decrease. A $50,000 technical adjustment to the allocation amount for the Regional Office Assistance Group, or ROAG for short, is included in this recommendation. This adjustment is due to the rent, OE&E, and benefits not accounted for in the initial request amount shown in our attachments. This increase takes the initial state operations request for ROAG from $980,000 to $1,030,000. So first, the report provides a summary of the allocations for each of the 32 programs that support the trial courts and request funding annually from IMF. Additionally, there is information explaining requested adjustments to the allocations from previous year's requests. Attachment 1A, found on page 12 of your materials, details the IMF allocations for various programs and provides the change in dollars and percentages from the previous year. Attachment 1B, on pages 13 and 14, provides detailed descriptions for each of the 32 programs requesting funding. And finally, attachment 1C, on page 15, is the IMF fund condition statement. At the end of the 2024-25 fiscal year, the IMF is projected to have a fund balance of $28.5 million, as shown in column E, line 25. Based on current revenue projections, the fund is estimated to be able to support the requested allocation level for the 24-25 fiscal year. Excuse me. The recommendation presented on page 11 and inclusive of the technical adjustment for ROAG, as mentioned before, is to approve the 2024-25 allocations from the IMF in the amount of $46.6 million for consideration next by the Judicial Branch Budget Committee at its May 16th business meeting. This concludes our presentation. We have office leaders and program representatives in this meeting to assist in answering any questions you might have on these allocation requests.
Heather, thank you so much. We appreciate that. So before I call for a motion, are there any questions to Heather or any other members on the call related to the first allocation here. And again, that recommendation is at page 11 of your written materials, page 13 of the electronic materials.
Judge Conklin, can I ask just a quick clarification question? This is David Slayton.
David, go ahead.
So I just wanted to check to make sure I know this is somewhat related to the next agenda item, but I'll just focus my attention here on this item. I know there's an agenda item that's next that we'll look at, I think it will provide increased allocation to legal services of $2 million. And I note on this agenda item and this in attachment 1A, it references the $2.871 million. I assume that's assuming that we approve the next item and that the allocation for 24-25 would be $2.69 million, which is a slight decrease after that addition. Am I understanding that correctly? Is that right?
Absolutely correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for clarifying that, David. Any other questions concerning item number one?
I have a question. I just want to make sure I'm understanding what we're considering here. I look at page, I think it's, make sure I can write right page 12, which has a breakdown of 32 items. Are when we talk about the first item on our agenda we're going to be voting on, are we voting to approve the $48 million as outlined in this spreadsheet? Or are we only voting on parts of that $48 million that's reflected on the spreadsheet?
The amount should show the 46.6. You may be looking at 48, which was the 2023-24 allocations.
Okay, yeah, I see that. Yeah, I was looking at that. But so the for example, when I see self-help center, and it doesn't matter which one of those spreadsheets we're looking at, we're saying that we're approving, well, I guess last year's was $5 million for self-help. Is that for self-help centers throughout the state? Is that what we're talking about? And each of the courts get somehow that $5 million to spread between all the courts for self-help centers?
You can have program just respond to the allocation methodology, but there's a statute, this is SLOTCO, there's a statutory requirement that we actually allocate that particular item at $5 million from the IMF. Okay. But okay. Generally speaking, you're looking at the entire package and then we break down what are all the constituent parts of that, but we can turn to program to speak to the allocation methodology and how it relates to other state funded self-help expenditures.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
We have from program who can speak to self-help allocations from CFCC.
Do you need that further detail, Judge Siebert?
Sorry, no, I don't need that. Thank you.
Okay, great, but it's there if needed. Any other questions regarding item number one? And if there's not, I'd invite a motion to approve item number one as stated at page 11 of your written and 13 of your electronic materials.
Judge Conklin, this is David Yamasaki. I would be happy to move approval of this recommendation as reflected in page 11 of the materials.
David, thanks so much. Is there a second?
I'll second, Judge Kalamkarian.
To both of you, both Davids, thanks for moving and seconding. It's now a pending motion before the committee. It's now open for further discussion. Any further discussion related to item number one, the IMF allocation? I don't see any hands. I don't hear any voices. Is there any opposition to the motion to approve item number one? I don't see any hands. I don't hear any voices. Is the chair all deem item number one unanimously approved? Heather, thanks so much for your presentation. We appreciate that. Now moving to item number two, as we've heard already, somewhat related, this is also an allocation from the IMF for consideration from an RNE subcommittee recommendation. And this is that unique situation where we're dealing with the current year. So this is to increase our current 23-24 IMF allocation for legal services to address increased legal support for the trial courts. And Eric is with us. Eric, are you on?
I am here.
I'll turn it over to you to take it away. Thank you.
Great. Good afternoon, everyone. As Judge Conklin mentioned, this is a request for an increase in the current year of $2 million from the IMF. This is specifically to address support of the litigation management program, which provides for the defense and indemnity of all litigation against the branch. It is to address specific increases in costs and expenses against trial court related matters as a result of a number of large or higher value settlements, trial court related settlements, and also expenses on some rather expensive cases that we've been handling throughout the year. The LMP at this point has exhausted its general fund allocation. So we are seeking this money to help us continue to maintain the program. In the future, we are pursuing a BCP to address future shortfalls in the future.
Eric, thanks so much. A brief but important item. Any questions for Eric concerning recommendation number, item number two, the set forth at page 17 of your written and 19 of your electronic materials? I see no hands. I hear no voices. Is there a motion?
This is Judge Clark. I'll make the motion.
Judge Clark, I heard you make the motion. Is there a second?
Fernandez, awesome. Second.
All right. It's moved and seconded that item number two, recommendation set forth on the pages noted, be approved. It's now open for discussion. Any further discussion? Hearing and seeing none, is there any opposition to approve the recommendation as set forth? I hear none, I see none, so I'm going to deem as the chair the recommendation unanimously approved. Thank you so much for your presentation, Eric, and we'll now turn to item number three. This is for the allocations from the Trial Court Trust Fund. This is, we deal with this every year. This is, while every item here is significant, this is financially probably one of our largest ones. The recommendation here is set forth at page 25 of your materials. It's going to give us a total of $3.1 billion approximately. This is to a multi-part allocation that includes distributing funding via the workload formula. Now, just a reminder, the workload formula has previously been approved by the committee. It's been approved by the council. And it has contingencies built into it to deal with different financial scenarios that we are faced with. In this case, there's two items here that impact this allocation. The first is a previous decision that the CPI funding not be considered new money. So it's previously been discussed and decided that we will not consider a CPI allocation whenever it occurs. And we've been fortunate enough to get those CPI allocations in recent years, but they're not deemed to be new money. And that plays into the next part of this equation. And that is, we always look at subsequent years to determine what, Pat, is this a new money year? Or a no new money year, or hopefully not, a reduction year. And the allocation methodology that's previously been approved addresses what happens if we have the second year of no new money, which is where we are now, contingent upon the final budget. So please, we all keep in mind that these recommendations could be impacted if the final budget takes us to a different track, so to speak. But right now, we remain optimistic that the budget as currently in place would cause us to be in a second year of no new money versus a year of an actual reduction. And if that holds true, then the methodology applies to the no new money year. And while we have not had to implement that redistribution, it is within the approved methodology, and it will result in a redistribution that Oksana is about to talk to us about. So with that introduction, I'm going to turn it over to another one of the pros from Dover. Oksana, you're up.
Thank you very much, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Oksana Tak, Senior Analyst with Budget Services. Agenda item number three on page 20. Ask for consideration of the recommended preliminary 2024-25 Trial Court Trust Fund, TCTF in short, allocations for Judicial Council offices and the trial courts, totaling $3.3 billion. The allocations include recommendations from the revenue and expenditure and funding methodology subcommittees, funding proposed in the governor's budget, and the workload formula allocation methodology as approved by the Judicial Council. Attachment 3A on page 26 provides details of the R&E subcommittee recommendations on TCTF allocations for the various programs. The bottom section of attachment 3A provides two summaries of the total allocations displayed cumulatively by each Judicial Council office and TCTF program. The 24-25 proposed governor's budget does not include any new funding for the trial courts, including no consumer price index CPI adjustment due to the projected state's fiscal deficit. CPI increases have been included in the budget in the three recent fiscal years. FMS discussed CPI adjustment funding at its recent March 7 meeting and recommends that CPI funding included in the budget to address inflationary costs for the trial courts should not be considered new money for the purpose of the allocating funding via the workload formula. And therefore, the definition of the new money in the policy should be revised to exclude CPI adjustment. With the revised definition of the new money, the 24-25 budget year will be a second year of no new money in the budget, and that triggers the reallocation of funding to support equity. There have been no instances of the reallocation of funding due to the second year of no new money since the workload formula was implemented in 2018-19. The funding reallocation is 27.2 million and was calculated based on the current council-approved workload formula policy parameters. Attachment 3B on pages 27 through 28 provides details of recommended preliminary allocations displaying base, discretionary, and non-discretionary programs from the TCTF and general fund in amount of $3.1 billion in column AD, including total TCTF base allocation in amount of $2.6 billion in column T. This document can be used to assist courts in breaking down their various allocation categories. Next, attachment 3C on pages 29 through 30 provides the details of the 24-25 workload formula allocation information of $2.6 billion with a total by the court in column Y. The workload formula need and finding percentage are also displayed, all contingent on the proposed finding in the governor's budget. The materials also include TCTF fund condition statement, which shows that the fund is projected to have the necessary resources to support those requests. The information is outlined in attachment 3D on page 31 with a projected fund balance of $147.9 million at the end of 2024-25, included in row 27. Of this amount, $67.8 million is restricted and $80.1 million is unrestricted. The recommendations presented to TCBAC for consideration are listed on page 25 of the materials, contingent of the finding proposed in the governor's budget being included in the enacted 2024 Budget Act. Please note that since these are preliminary allocations, some modifications may be necessary on the future based on the future state revenues and budget adjustments. That concludes our presentation. And should members have any questions, we have Judicial Council staff on the call for this item to assist in answering any questions as needed.
Oksana, as always, excellent. Thank you so much for that presentation. Very thorough, and I think addresses all aspects of the TCTF allocations. But I want to open it up for any discussions. As again, as prefaced and then detailed by Oksana, this will address the CPI as no new money. And then it'll also address the allocation methodology in place once we have 2 years of no new money. Those recommendations are set forth. Any questions for Oksana or staff? I don't see hands. I don't hear voices. Oh, Chad, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
No question, Judge. I wanted to just let folks who are not part of FMS know that we had a very in-depth and vigorous discussion about this issue. So I think it was a very good discussion. We had a very high degree of participation and sort of, you know, really, I think did a deep dive into the history of the issue and sort of the prior council actions and really sort of thinking about, you know, what I think FMS really looked at, what is the, what most accurately captures the intent of what the council had done and the intent of prior use of money. So, I know you have not yet called for a motion, but and I don't know if it's appropriate as co-chair of FMS for me to be the one to make it, but I very much support the recommendation. And I did just want to let all of our colleagues who are not on FMS know that this was the subject of quite a lot of thought and discussion to arrive at this point, and lots of really good help by staff.
Agreed.
And I'll second that motion.
So Chad made the motion. Who seconded?
This is David Slayton, second.
David, thank you. So as I often say, like Rebecca is the brains behind the business for the TICBAC. Chad, she's the vice chair. Chad, who's co-chair of FMS with me, is the brains behind the business in FMS. But he's right. This was a very thorough and I think appropriate discussion with FMS as it comes to you. So it's been moved and seconded that the recommendations for TCTF at page 25 of your materials, 27 of your electronic materials be approved. It's now open for any further discussion. Any further discussion on item number 3? I don't see any. I'm now calling, as is our standard practice, given the number of participants in a Zoom meeting, is there any opposition to the motion to approve item number 3 is set forth in the materials? I see none. I hear none. As chair, I'm deeming item number 3 unanimously approved. Oksana, thanks so much for your presentation. Much appreciated. We're now going to hear from Don Will on a few of these presentations in a row. Don, as always, you're welcome. This is the first one is AB 1058, Child Support Commissioner and Family Law Facilitator Program Allocations. We were going to hear from Anna on this, but Dawn is stepping in at this point. This is to consider the 24-25 methodologies and allocations for the Commissioner and Family Support Facilitator Programs. Dawn, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Dawn Will from the Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. The proposal you see has been reviewed by the Family and Juvenile Law Advisory Committee. It recommends $35 million in base funding and $13 million in federal drawdown allocations of that for the Child Support Commissioners and $12 million in base funding and $4 million in federal drawdown for Family Law Facilitators. The fiscal year 24-25 allocations are based on the methodologies for Child Support Commissioner and a separate methodology for Family Law Facilitator that have been previously approved by the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee. And there are have been no modifications to those methodologies in running out these allocations for the courts that are shown in the tables. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Dawn about item number 4, the recommendation set forth at page 32 and 33 of your written and 34 and 35 of your electronic materials? And don't worry, we're not done with Dawn yet. He's got a few more to go. Any questions for Dawn on item number 4? I don't hear or see any. Is there a motion to recommend to approve the recommendations that item number 4 is set forth?
I'll make the motion, Judge Callum Carrion.
Thank you. Second?
Rule, second.
Moved and seconded that the recommendations as set forth for item number four be approved. It's now open for discussion. Any further discussion or questions? And hearing none, any opposition to item number four being unanimously approved? As the chair, therefore, and there was none, so I'm deeming item number four is unanimously approved. Dawn, thanks so much, but we're going to keep you right on deck. We're now in item number five. This is the CARE Act, Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Allocation Methodology for 24, allocations, pardon me, for 24-25. The recommendations are at page 37 and 38 of your written and 39 and 40 of your electronic materials. Is to consider the FMS recommendation to allocate the CARE Act funding as noted. And Don, you're up again.
Thank you, Judge. This one's a little more complicated, so bear with me as I walk through it a little bit. It isn't it, the allocation methodology and allocations to courts for the 24-25 CARE Act implementation. There are two cohorts of courts, cohort one, including Los Angeles, and cohort two, including the other 50 courts who are at different phases of implementation. Cohort one will be implementing the CARE Act for the entire fiscal year. The remaining courts in cohort two are required to begin implementation by December 2024. The court budget, I'm going to jump ahead to 25-26. When all courts are implementing, our current budget from the BCP that was approved last year is $66 billion. So $66 million to implement in every court for a full year in 25-26. The court budget for next year adjusted downwards to account for cohort two not implementing for a full year is $52.7 million. That's what we are allocating in this report. The key elements of the methodology that were approved last year are at full implementation, courts will receive a base of $93,000 for hearing-related costs and a base of $98,000 for non-hearing-related costs, including self-help staff. After those bases are allocated, the remaining funding is allocated by the workload formula. So table one shows the full allocation, the hypothetical 25-26 allocation for $66 million. We do that in order to calculate what the cohort one's full share, so to speak, should be in 24-25. We imported those full allocations for cohort one to the 24-25 budget that's shown in table two. And then we prorated the remaining court allocations down to the available budget while retaining the bases. I believe that covers the allocation. I should also say that as with last year, we've included a small amount to cover emergencies that might be, or left it in reserve to cover emergencies that might be encountered by smaller courts. That's also shown in table two. And with that, Judge Conklin, I think I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay. You're two-thirds of the way there, Don. We appreciate that.
Thank you.
This is for the recommendation set forth at page 37 and 38 of written and 39 and 40 of electronic for the CARE Act allocations that Don has very thoroughly and appropriately presented. Any questions for Don about this? I don't hear any. Is there a motion?
Hernandez moves.
Judge, thank you. Second?
Yamasaki seconds.
Moved and seconded that the recommendations set forth in the written electronic materials as noted be approved. Now it's open for further discussion. Any further discussion? I see no hands. I hear no voices. I want to make sure I didn't leave anybody out. Any opposition to the recommendations that set forth at those pages as noted for item five? Seeing and hearing none, I deem item five unanimously approved. Dawn? Almost there. We're going to thank you so much. And now turn to you for item number six, which is model self-help pilot program, a technology model project allocation. This is a little more specific and defined, though equally important. And Don, I'll let you take it over.
Thank you, Judge. The next item was proposed as a response to the need statewide for additional self-help services, particularly on small courts, and the committee's interest in making more resources available to the program shown by the BCC that's currently traveling to attempt to expand self-help resources. And this report comes from the Funding Methodology Subcommittee. This amount of funding, $191,000, is part of a long-standing Budget Act allocation to five courts for self-help services. In 2019, one of those five courts, Contra Costa, elected not to continue participating in the grant. That grant had always had a technology focus. So at that time, this committee recommended that that $191,000 be made available for application to all courts. So for the following three fiscal years, we did that as part of the overall IT and signage and technology applications, and have funded an average of nine courts annually with small to medium grants for self-help technology. The base allocation for self-help centers out of the $33 million that the state gets is $34,000. 20 courts have annual allocations of under $100,000, and nine of those are under $50,000. With these resources, self-help centers in small and medium courts are not able to provide access to the public during all business hours, not able to provide individual assistance in complex case types such as conservatorship and consumer debt. So we draw the committee's attention to a program piloted during the Court Innovations grant period called the Self-Help Assistance and Referral Program. In this program, the Butte Court managed a platform that linked 22 courts together for voice and video conferencing. This model gave self-represented litigants in the small courts access to remote self-help services and allowed courts to pool their resources and make qualified attorneys available remotely. So we're asking the committee to consider whether shifting the allocation methodology, which is now available for technology grants, necessarily small in size, to individual courts, to proposals for a project of this type, and whether it would generate more benefits for the small courts and for all courts who are required to keep self-help business center hours, would like to give self-represented litigants access to experts specializing in complex case types. Participation in the program would be voluntary for any court to join the network. While the Innovations Project focused on remote access to workshops for the greatest utility to courts, we recommend including in the solicitation asking for a platform that allows courts to collaborate on providing direct assistance through phone and chat to self-represented litigants during all business hours. So that, Judge, concludes my description of this proposal, and I'm happy to answer any questions about it.
Don, as always, thanks so much. So it's essentially, to overgeneralize, this is an allocation to one court that will benefit all who are participating in the program. We're kind of trying to spread the resources to make it as effective as possible. Any questions for Don about this? I don't see any. This addresses the recommendation specific at page 44 of your written and 46 of your electronic. Is there a motion to approve that recommendation?
This is Neil Taniguchi. I'll move.
Neil, thank you. Second? All right, I will. Yeah, I'll second. All right. Who jumped in there?
I think it was you, Judge Conklin.
I'll give myself credit for that. Moved and seconded that the recommendation be approved. Now that it's open for discussion, any further discussion? And any opposition? Hearing none, the recommendation is unanimously approved. Don, as always, thorough and effective. We appreciate your help on all these items. Thanks. It was good to see you.
Thank you.
All right, now we're going to move to item number 7. As I previously noted, given in the broadest sense what might be an appearance of a conflict, I'm going to step away from this discussion, turn it over for Rebecca to discuss and to call for votes. Rebecca?
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Item 7 is to consider the 2024-25 methodology for allocations for court-appointed dependency counsel. Kelly Milab, the supervising analyst for Judicial Counsel Center for Families, Children, and the Courts, will present this item. Kelly?
Thank you, Ms. Fleming, Judge Conklin, and members of the committee. For your consideration today, I am presenting the recommended court-appointed juvenile dependency counsel funding allocations for the trial courts for fiscal year 24-25. The recommended allocations shown at Attachment A are based on the $186.7 million included in the annual budget to support court-appointed dependency counsel and were established using the methodology approved by the council in 2016 and amended in 2022. The key factors used in the methodology are for each court, a 3-year rolling average of original dependency filings, a 3-year rolling average of the number of children in foster care, current county council salaries at the median of the first 2 salary ranges reported by counties, and the current Bureau of Labor Statistics index. I do want to note that the median salary is used to calculate funding need, and it is not a salary guideline. The county council salaries used in the methodology are the salaries reported after January 1st, which allows us to capture any salary changes that may have occurred in July and January. In addition, as you are aware, the funding methodology also includes several adjustments for small courts to ensure that the small courts have adequate funding to meet their needs. The small court adjustments include suspending reallocation-related budget reductions for the smallest courts with caseloads under 200, adjusting the local economic index for the small courts with dependency caseloads under 400, and slightly reducing the funding allocations of all large court budgets to offset the cost for small courts. As noted in the materials, because of downward trends in dependency filings, it is likely that the small court adjustments will apply to more courts and may result in some small courts receiving increased funding despite drops in caseloads. And as Judge Conklin indicated, the committee did receive a comment on this item from a member of our court-appointed dependency provider community, and I wanted to extend our thanks and appreciation for taking the time to provide a comment. I do want to note that we currently have a budget change proposal concept for court-appointed dependency counsel items that is in the Judicial Branch Budget Committee process, which includes a request to support to conduct a comprehensive workload study on dependency representation to determine whether the factors used in our current funding methodology require revision. That will conclude my presentation, and I am now happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Yes, we always appreciate our public comment, and I'll open it up now to the group for questions or discussions on the materials that are on pages 43 through 46 or any of the points that Kelly presented in her presentation.
Rebecca, this is David Slayton. I have my hand up, if that's okay.
Yes, thank you, David.
Thanks very much, Kelly. Thank you for the presentation. you answered several of my questions, but I wanted to just maybe dig in a little bit further, if it's okay, just to make sure I understand based upon some of the public comment that was received. Just to clarify, looking at the materials on page 45, the attachment A, it does look like the funding level overall statewide has been at $186.7 million for several years. Presumably, if entities were feeling the crunch, so to speak, that might be one basis is that the funding has not increased for at least, it looks like, 3 years. There is a potential BCP that the council might ultimately submit to do that. Is that accurate, what you said?
The budget change proposal concept is not to increase the funding for court-appointed counsel, to increase the $186.7 million. That is, it's for several items related to dependency counsel, including conducting a workload study that would address, you know, the concerns about the standard caseload and other measures used for our methodology. And it would give us a better, it would inform how we allocate the funding based on workload.
Okay, sounds good. And then on the there was another comment in the public comment that said that the author was unclear what time frame was used to set median county council salary information. I think you just clarified that it was for things that county submitted after January 1st of 2024. So it would be pretty current salary information. Is that correct?
That's right. Our understanding is that typically the counties make changes to salaries in at the beginning of the year or in July. Obviously, we could not use the instant July for 24-25 allocations because it would be too late in the process. But we do them in January so that we have the most recent changes from the previous July and at the beginning of the year.
Okay, sorry. I have just one more question, then I'll be quiet on this. Just the other comment that was made was that a concern about the caseload standard that we're using for the formula. And I think I understand you to say that part of that potential BCP is to do a workload study to perhaps adjust that study. So it's not like the council's turning a blind eye to that. It sounds as if there's active work to try to make adjustments if that's appropriate. Is that, am I understanding that correctly?
That's correct. As part of the workload study, we would be doing a comprehensive study of dependency representation, which would include caseload standards.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the help.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. Are there any other questions or comments? I'm not seeing any hands. If we do not have any other questions or comments, do we have a motion?
Judge Clark, I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Judge Clark. Do we have a second?
Riley will second.
Thank you, Brandon. Riley, we have a first, a motion, first and a second to move the recommendations as approved. Any further discussion as presented, I'm sorry. Any further discussion on the motion? All in favor, or actually any opposed to the motion? I have to use the Conklin approach here. Any opposed to the motion?
I'm not opposed, but please show I'm abstaining, Rose.
That is noted. Thank you, Judge Conklin. Seeing no opposition, I will deem the motion as approved, and I will turn it back to Judge Conklin.
Great job, Rebecca, if you want to continue, but I'll jump back in. We're doing great on time. Folks, this takes us to item number 8, which is set forth in your materials at page 47. This is addressing pretrial release program allocations for 24-25. This is going to be presented by Deidre. Deidre, I think you are on with us, aren't you?
I am, Judge. Yes.
Thanks so much. Take it away.
Okay. Thank you for having me this afternoon. This is our fourth annual request of the Trial Court Budget Advisory Committee to review staff's recommendations for pretrial release funding. The council is mandated to distribute $68.95 million in ongoing pretrial funding to all courts based on each county's relative proportion of the state population of 18 to 25 year olds. And the funding is to be used for the implementation and operation of ongoing court programs and practices that promote the safe, efficient, fair, and timely pretrial release of individuals booked into jail. Each court may retain up to 30% of the funding for costs associated with pretrial, and except as otherwise authorized, courts must contract with pretrial services from their county probation department or other county department or agency and provide that department with the remainder of their county's allocation. You'll find staff's recommendation for the allocation and attachment A, which is page 51, I believe, of your materials in item 8. I'll also bring your attention to the funding floor recommendation. Since the inception of the statewide pretrial funding, staff has recommended a funding floor for smaller courts. We made a commitment to come back to this body every year and to keep an eye on spending and analyze what is going on with the small courts. We have done that. In March of 24, we analyzed actual expenditures by all small courts. There are 23 courts that are currently under the funding floor. We also reached out to each court individually to tell them our recommended amount and give them an opportunity for feedback. Out of that conversation and analysis, Criminal Justice Services still recommends a funding floor for 15 courts at the amount of $200,000 a year. And then the remaining 8 courts, we have decreased our recommendation. This will return $425,000 to the general pretrial pot that will be then allocated across all courts. This is further detailed in the memo if you'd like to see the list of actual courts. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Deidre, thanks so much. Any questions for Deidre about item number 8, the recommendations that are set forth at page 50 of written and 52 of electronic materials? I don't hear any. I don't see any. Is there a motion to approve the recommendation?
Fernandez moves to approve.
I heard Fernandez first. I'll give Chris credit for second. So moved and approved.
Wait.
Judge Fernandez's motion, I believe, and Chris Rule seconded. Any further discussion on the motion by Judge Hernandez? Any opposition? Hearing none, the recommendations to set forth in materials are unanimously approved. Deidre, thanks so much for your help today.
Thank you.
We're almost there, folks, but we're doing great on our schedule. This takes us to item number 9. This is for consideration for, again, 2425 allocations for the $30 million to increase the number of court reporters in family law and civil law case types. Chris is with us, I think.
I am. Yes. Hi, Jeff.
All right, take it away. Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you. This is a recommendation to approve the allocations of the $30 million court reporter funding for fiscal year 24-25. And those allocations are contained in attachment 9A of your materials. And this may be a familiar item since this is ongoing funding for court reporters, and this body and the Judicial Council have previously approved the allocations in prior years of funding based on the same methodology used in this year's 24-25 allocations. And with that, I'll turn it back over to you, Judge Conklin, in case there's any questions about the report.
Great, Chris. A somewhat routine item, but obviously very important, especially as we value our court reporters and getting appropriate funding for increasing their population within our court. The recommendation is noted at page 54 and 56. Any questions for Chris about this? Doesn't appear to be. I'd invite a motion.
This is David Slayton. I'll move that we approve the recommendation.
David, thank you. A second?
Yamasaki seconds.
Moved and seconded that the recommendation is set forth on those pages noted be approved. It's open for discussion. Apparently none. And therefore, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the recommendations as noted? I don't see any. I don't hear any. I'll deem the item number 9, the recommendations on those pages, unanimously approved. Thanks so much. So now we are closing in. Item number 10, self-help program allocations for 24-25. This is to consider these allocations. Melanie is with us, I think.
Good afternoon.
Thanks. Welcome. Take it away.
Thank you so much. This item is requesting consideration for the 24-25 allocation of $30.3 million in ongoing appropriations for court-based self-help centers. This program was initially funded at $11.2 million and then expanded in 2018-2019 to $30.3 million. In 2018, this committee made recommendations that were approved for the fiscal year 19-20 and ongoing. And those changes included the adoption of a 3-year population update schedule using rolling 3-year average census data. Number 2 is to provide annual population updates using rolling 3-year average data for informational purposes only. And the 3rd is to maintain the current self-help allocation baseline of $34,000. The request and the request allocations are noted for the individual counties on pages 58 and 59 of your materials. And we are requesting approval for those allocations. Again, there would be a 3-year allocation, and I'm available to answer any questions.
Melanie, thanks very much. Any questions for Melanie about those recommendations that set forth in your written and electronic materials? I don't hear any. I don't see any. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion, Judge Kalamkarian.
David, thank you. Second?
Judge Clark, I'll second it.
Moved and seconded. The recommendations for item number 10 be approved. Open for discussion. Any further discussion? Sorry for the clock in the background. And I don't hear any further discussion. Is there any opposition to the motion to approve the recommendations as set forth at those pages? I see here none. It says the chair, I'll deem also these recommendations unanimously approved. So that is, we're almost done, folks, but we're not quite there yet. We allocated an hour for this, 2 hours for this, and we're done in an hour. I do have one other item just to note before we adjourn. The Fresno County Superior Court, a submission was received from this court in January in response to the annual call letter for the workload formula adjustment request process. The process, also known as ARP, allows trial courts to request a change in the workload formula for unforeseen factors that are not currently accounted for in the model, and this is for the purpose of better serving the needs of the courts. Submission has been initially reviewed. It's been determined the identified workload is already included in the existing workload formula. The counsel's Office of Court Research has reached out to the Fresno County Superior Court, not to me personally, but to the members of the court that submitted this request. And you'll receive further information back if any further action needs to be taken to address that request. But I wanted to make sure that was on the record. Again, if I'm not sure if there's anything for the good of the order today, I frequently make this comment, but I want to emphasize it here. I realize we had 2 hours allotted for this meeting. We've accomplished, I think, all of our work in 1 hour. If anybody's listening in from outside, this should not be reflective, and I'm confident that it's not, that these items are not seriously considered by every member of this community, of this committee. We've been working with this for a year, folks, and many of these are items that we have learned how to address appropriately. But I'm repeating myself because it's necessary. There's Alex Haley is credited with a phrase saying, find something good and praise it. And I think this is an example of that. From the work from the top down that the chief has accomplished. And again, not to be too self whatever about this, but this committee has really, and the staff that supports us, this is an amazing accomplishment. And each year we deal sometimes with better years and sometimes not so good years. And this is playing out to be one of those not so good years, but each year we make it work. And each year staff does that for us. I hesitate to name staff as I'll leave them out. You know who you are, but you please do not think for a moment that this committee does not appreciate every minute of your hard work that got us to where we are today. I think enough has been said. I see many nods by members of this committee as I make these comments, and I just think they all join in these comments. We thank you all for the work that you've done that got us where we are. We hope that the remainder of this plays out to be at least a year where we can stay afloat. We're on track for that. I hope we get there. Any other comments? I'll refrain from saying anything about baseball teams. I don't know if any of you saw the Dodger game last night and the bees that came into play, but sometimes that's the way we feel, huh? We have to swat these things away and go on with our work. So if you haven't seen it, I encourage you to watch it. But anyways, thank you all for your work. Appreciate it all. Rose, when's our next meeting?
Our next meeting is July 2nd.
Great. And this will go to JBBC folks for approval for the council at its July meeting. Stand by. Zlatko's with us. He's not going to give us an update today, but we got our May revise coming out and more to come. With that, enjoy the little bit remainder of your lunch, folks. Appreciate your time. Thank you all so much. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.